श्रुति प्रतिपन्ना ते यदास्तास्यसि निश्चला समाधावचला बुद्धिः तदा योगमवाप्स्यसि समाधावचला बुद्धिः तदा योगमवाप्स्यसि So we saw in the last class, in the previous shloka, Yadate Mohakalilam Buddhir Vetitarishyasi Tada Gandhasi Nirvedam Shrotavyasyam Shrutasyacha. So all the confusions regarding the impermanent objects, Anitya Vastu, they are all gone. Now the clear, it is very clear to Arjuna now that Anitya Vastu cannot give peace. Peace of mind cannot be given by any impermanent object. Even better, Anitya Vastu cannot definitely give moksha. It cannot even give peace, it cannot definitely give moksha. So that is what was taught so far. And actually in Katha Upanishad there is a similar setup there. Actually Krishna borrowed many of these ideas from Katha Upanishad perhaps. Nachiketasi as Yama, I do not want anything. Krishna offers, Yamadharma Raja offers him so many things. I will give you kingdom, I will give you riches, I will give you women, I will give you everything you want. Nachiketa says, I do not want any of them at all. He can promise anything. You can keep all the promises to yourself and keep also all the objects to yourself only, because even the Karmakanda promises so many things to us. Karmakanda, as we saw in the Vedas, it promises so many things to us. It gives us Brahmaloka, up to Brahmaloka I will give you. Swargam you want, Vaikuntham, Kailasam, Brahmalokam, anything I will give you, no problem. Karmakanda says all those things. But even in Brahmaloka, Sankalpa Matrena, whatever you want, you will get. There is what is that? All that Kamadenu is there, Parijata tree is there, anything you wish, you will get everything you want. But even that, Nachiketas did not want any of them because he wanted ultimately moksha. So, Shruti, Karmakanda may promise so many things. But Krishna says, Shruti vipratipanna buddhihi, buddhihi, your intellect, which was confused by Shruti. Shruti is Veda. The Karmakanda portion is Veda, not the Vedanta portion. Vipratipanna means vividam pratipanna. Vividam, having varieties of fancies. It can promise you so many things. Varieties of fancies. It is not clear about Vedanta at all, because the Vedanta, what it is trying to communicate, you don't even understand. Here, Veda, the Karmakanda portion is promising so many things. So many other things like numerology is there, astrology is there, palmistry is there. They all tell you so many things. You please this planet, you will get this. You please this planet, you will get this. Lot of people, they even change their names because some numerology pattern, you know, it will satisfy that. The normal spelling that you will see in those names, it will be so uncommon. We will be wondering why such a name is, you know, spelled this way. Some numerology, somebody told him, if you have this name, this many letters, it adds up to this number, then you will be all whatever it is, all goodness is going to come to you. So people are all confused. People are all deluded by all these promises, by so many other things that is given in the Veda, Purva Bhaga, namely the Karmakanda portion. So those people who are utterly confused because of the promises of the Karmakanda, when such a buddhi vipratipanna, such a buddhi, nischala stasyasi, becomes quiet, no chanchalam at all, very quiet. Then it becomes nischala stasyasi. It is not after all this, trying to find cheap solutions for all the problems they were trying. They were going here and there to find solutions for all the problems, go to astrology, this, that and all. So they were trying to find solutions. They want, but they really want a permanent solution. All this quick fix they don't want. They want a permanent solution. So that buddhi, which is not tempted by the Karmakanda portion of the Vedas, that buddhi, which is not tempted by them, and when that mind becomes tranquil, when they understand, they all of them are all impermanent, they cannot give me a permanent solution, and when that mind becomes tranquil, that is nischala. Nischala, that also includes the samadhi shatka sampatti, which we talked about earlier, that the mind, he becomes an eligible person now because chitta naischalyam has come, chitta ekagrata has come, one point at attention, the person has focused now. All the other things are all gone now. Through upasana he focused, through karma yoga he got chitta shitta shuddhi, all those things have happened. So when the buddhi becomes dispassionate, nischala buddhi, when it becomes dispassionate and steady to practice upasana, when that becomes, then actually Krishna has not mentioned upasana separately here. He only talked about the Purva Bhaga Veda. He doesn't talk about upasana separately, but we can understand that clearly. Because we only take for convenience the upasana portion and the karma yoga portion as separately. But for all practical purposes, they are one and the same only. So they are always together. Actually, yoga indicates both of them. Karma yoga and upasana both indicates both of them. So yada buddhihi nischala stasyasi. Up to this is sadhana chaturthaya sampatti. Up to this what? The person has practiced vivekam, vairagyam, samadhim, shatka sampattihim, and also he has got the craving desire to get moksha. So up to this is all clear. Thereafterwards, then the person has to go to the second stage, namely jnana yoga. And what is that? Actually in the Tattvabodha itself, we already saw, the seeker has understood that whatever the world is offering, whatever is the world, it is all anityam. It is impermanent. That he understood. He seeks what? A permanent thing. A permanent object or nitya vastu is what he is seeking. That is what the seeker really does. And the jnana yoga begins by saying that nitya vastu need not be attained. That is a rude shock. Because every time he was trying to attain a permanent object, but what Tattvabodha and Vedanta teaches him is, jnana yoga teaches his first lesson is what? Nitya vastu, you do not have to go anywhere to attain it. That is the first lesson. Because it is the infinite one. If it is infinite, what? It should be everywhere. Infinite cannot be attained from somewhere because infinite is everywhere. So nitya vastu is available here and now. You do not have to wait for any time. It is available to you here and right now. But anitya vastu has to be created. Any other impermanent object, that has to be created. It has to be attained. It requires time. It requires effort. It requires all other things to acquire an anitya vastu. Whereas a nitya vastu being infinite, it is available here and now. You do not have to go anywhere to attain that. Then the question will be what? If it is here and now, how to get it? The question itself is wrong, right? If it is here and now, how to get it? The question itself is wrong question. It is here, it's available right now. So there is no question of getting it at all. It is only knowing. It is only the knowledge that it need not be attained. It is ever closer to me. It never is away from me. That is the knowledge one has to gain. So nitya vastu, otherwise called the purnatvam, the fulfillment completely, happiness, peace, whatever you want to call, that should never be sought. Happiness, purnatvam and all should never be sought, it should be owned. We should own it up. We should say, aham purnaha asmi. I am full. I do not lack anything in life. I do not have to get something to attain fulfillment, to increase my happiness. I am ever happy. I am ever full. Aham purnaha asmi. That knowledge has to come. So nitya vastu or purnatvam or happiness, peace should never be sought after. One cannot go after that. The more we seek, the more we will go away from it. The more we seek, more we will go away from it. So nitya vastu could be gained only in terms of owning up or knowing. And so with respect to nitya vastu, we should not practice karma. There is no point in practicing any karma for getting nitya vastu. We should come to jnanam. We should discover the knowledge that is available to us. So the final discovery is what? It is my nature, my own nature. That is the final discovery. That purnatvam, whatever I am thinking of, is my own nature. And aham brahma ananda swarupi asmi. That is the knowledge I should get. Aham brahma ananda swarupi. I am ever that brahman. That is all my nature is. That I should be able to understand. Therefore, jnana yoga is the discovery of that permanent object, the nitya vastu, through what? Through guru, shastra, upadeshena. So through a guru, through shastra. That is how one should pursue Jnana Yoga, and that is how one can gain this knowledge. It is not enough that we just discover, because even after discovering what happens, the mind is always trained to the habitual thoughts. Right? Mind is always trained to the habitual thoughts. Whatever I have been thinking all the time, it has got all the old thoughts and habits the mind has. So actually, Swami Dayananda gives a very nice story. He talks the story of a beggar. There was a beggar who was a beggar even before birth. How he can be a beggar before birth? Parents were beggars. So his parents are also beggars, they were only begging. And this guy was born and he was begging, and somehow, maybe somebody bought a lottery ticket, they missed it, and this guy got it and he got the lottery. So he became suddenly a rich man. So he wanted to get all the things in life, so he wanted to put rings in all the fingers, every finger has a ring. So he wanted to get all, he got a beautiful car, everything, and he is all going in the car. And sometime what happened, he has got a new rich man now. And when he was going, there was a place where some person, some philanthropist, he was giving away some presents to poor people. He was giving him clothes and all that thing. He's a big stage. Everybody going in the line, taking this, you know, whatever vastram he is giving, a sari or a dhoti, whatever he is, they are getting. This guy going in a Mercedes Benz, he's seeing that, stops the car, stands in the line, goes to their place to get that vastram from them. Extends his hand. What he sees? All the 10 fingers have got 10 beautiful tall diamond rings. Aha, I am a rich man now. I should not get this. Leaves. So the habitual thinking that he is a beggar makes him to stand in that line, even though he is now a very rich person. The same way, because of, even though we may discover that we are Brahman, still our habitual thoughts, subconsciously it is there all the time. To get rid of that, you need to do a lot of other sadhana. So because of that, we still think that we are limited. Still we think we are incomplete. So to have, to discover that you are Brahman is one thing, but to have the firm idea that you are Brahman forever. So to discover that you are Brahman, that is jnana. But to discover that you are ever established in Brahman, that is called jnana nishtha. So jnanam and jnana nishtha, knowledge, you are Brahman, but ever established firmly in that jnanam is called jnana nishtha. That is what one should get. Jnana nishtha, one should get. So I don't require any external thing to be happy. That should be there firmly in the mind all the time, 24 hours a day. It should be there all the time. I am full and complete without anything from this world, whether it is relationship, whether it is objects, whether it is wealth, I do not depend on any of them for me to be ever happy. That knowledge should be firmly established. Actually, Krishna says in this is the second stage. This is the second stage. So getting jnanam and making it firm. Getting jnanam first stage and making it a firm knowledge is the second stage. Krishna later is going to call in the same chapter as tirapragna. This is called stirapragna, he is going to call it later. So firm wisdom, stirapragna is firm wisdom, it's a doubtless wisdom. Even when I am sleeping, if somebody wakes me and asks, who are you? I should be able to believe and say, I am Brahma. Aham Brahma, ask me. It's a old habit free wisdom, doubtless wisdom one should have. That is what is said actually in the second line of the shloka. Achala buddhihi. Achala buddhihi, when your mind is firmly established, Stasyati we have to supply. Stasyati, when you, like the previous word, we have to supply here. So achala buddhi is stasyati. So nischala stasyati, achala stasyati. When your buddhi is firmly established in what? Samadha. When the buddhi is firmly established in samadhi. Samadhi here means atma. Firmly established. Atma is true nature. It's not any transcendental stage or anything. True nature of atma. So atma is Satchidananda Swarupaha, that atma. Satyachitya Ananda Swarupaha. Tasmin Stasyati. When the buddhi is firmly established in that atma, that is Aham Atma Asmi, not Anatma, not the body. Aham Atma Asmi. When your buddhi is established firmly in that knowledge, now we should not ask what is Anatma and Atma. We should know all those by now. So, we believe. So, actually from verse number 12 to 25, Krishna defined very clearly what is Atma. So, the entire Sankhya portion of this chapter was already addressing that thing. So Krishna has really taught the body is anityam, and nitya vastu is only atma, all those we have, dehi nityam, avadyoyam dehe sarvasya vartha. So all this we have seen earlier. Nitya sarvagata sthanubhu, all those things. So anatma is the body, mind, and atma is chaitanya. That we have already understood very clearly. Atma is chaitanyam, atma is also the sakshi. Through all the three stages of avasthas. Through atma is the witness. So I am the nitya chaitanya swarupaha dehi. The deha may be perishable. Body may be perishable, but I am not affected by that at all. That knowledge should be firmly established in us. So in that wisdom, in what wisdom? Atma, anatma, viveka, prajnaya. In that knowledge that atma, anatma, viveka, the discrimination between what is atma and what is anatma, the body and what is the atma. So the atma, anatma discrimination, once when that is clearly established in the mind, tada, then the second stage is over. So first stage is what? Karma yoga. You go through karma yoga and you become an adhikari, eligible person for jnana yoga. Then second stage is jnana yoga. In the jnana yoga what? Go through the study of scripture, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam, go to your guru, understand all those things. So that is the second stage. Tadam yogam avapsyasi. Yoga here means moksha. In this usage, actually in Bhagavad Gita, the word yoga will be used in various places. And in various places, the usage will be different based on the context. Here it is moksha here. So fulfillment or happiness. So in fact, the primary meaning of yoga is moksha only. But what happened? All those means through which one can attain moksha, they also came to be called as yoga. So you can do karma yoga, you can do bhakti, you can do upasana, you can do so many other things, which all train you to gain chitta shuddhi, chitta naishalyam, and finally come to jnana marga. So they are all means. So they are also called yoga. That is why we got so many yoga, and that yoga, this yoga. Even Bhagavad Gita itself, all the chapters are considered some yoga or the other. So normally even though moksha, yoga means moksha, it is given various names here also. So this, the end alone is called yoga. So yoga means both the path and also the goal, both can be. So tada yogam avapsyasi, then you will attain moksha. With this, Krishna concludes the Karma Yoga topic. Okay. Second chapter it is. Topic is Sankhya Yoga. He already gave Sankhya Yoga 12 to 25. Then he went on to discuss elements of Karma Yoga, even though he is going to devote a full chapter, third chapter on Karma Yoga. But for the sake of completion, he indicated it, and he also discussed briefly on Karma Yoga this chapter. So it can be yoga. The second chapter can be concluded right now. But what Arjuna does, he is asking some questions. Because Krishna made this achala buddhihi, nischala buddhihi, all those things he made. Krishna, now Arjuna asks some question which elaborates the discussion further. Arjuna vacha.
Arjuna vacha. Arjuna vacha.
Sthira prajnasya ka bhasha.
Sthira prajnasya ka bhasha.
Samadhistasya
keshava.
Sthita prajnasya ka bhasha. Samadhistasya keshava.
Sthita prajnasya ka bhasha. Samadhistasya keshava. Sthita prajnasya ka bhasha. Samadhistasya keshava.
Sthidadi kim prabhasheta.
Sthidadi kim prabhasheta. Sthidadi kim prabhasheta.
Himasita vrajeta kim.
Himasita vrajeta kim. Himasita vrajeta kim.
Sthidadi kim prabhasheta. Himasita vrajeta kim.
Sthidadi kim prabhasheta. Himasita vrajeta kim.
So when Krishna talked about these two stages, Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, now Arjuna understood that he also has to go through both of them. Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga, both he has to go through. And Karma Yoga means what? Krishna already has defined Siddham Asiddha Yoho Samo Bhutvam Samatvam Yoga Uchyate. We already saw the shloka earlier. Never losing the balance of mind. Siddhi, asiddhi. Whether it is success or failure, do not lose your balance of mind. That is called samatvam yoga uchyate. Krishna already taught. Under any circumstances, whatever may be the situation, do not lose your balance. That was my first talk. And after practicing karma yoga and having got a very balanced mind, then he has to discover the inner self. This Arjuna understood very clearly. So when Arjuna sees the whole course of sadhana, then he becomes suddenly diffident. This is the sadhana. Then he becomes suddenly diffident. It is very good to listen. Nice to listen. That's all very fine. Go through karma yoga, becomes a karma yogi first, then go through jnana yoga, go to a teacher, get jnana. Everything is very nice. No problem at all. But how do I get it? How to get it is the problem. So immediately, the moment you think of the sadhana, anybody will become diffident, and so is Arjuna. So everyone will say, everything is fine when I am listening. It's good to listen, no problem at all. But when I am in the world of circumstances and situations, everything confronts me, knocks at my door, this equanimity is gone in a moment. In a trice it will be gone, it goes far, far away, and generally I discover only afterwards, after all the damage is done, again the wisdom dawns on me. Aha, I should not have gone through this. This is the general case with everyone. Arjuna is not an exception, we are happy about it. He is also in our boat. Not that we are in his boat, he is also in our boat. And anybody can feel diffident about this thing, because it is possible only to go through all the stages and get liberated. It is very tough. How do we do that? Now, in the Upanishads, and the Bhagavad Gita, this is a very significant difference. In Upanishad, whenever they talk about Jnana Marga, the student always is an evolved person. He is already a Karma Yogi, he has already gone through Upasana, Chitta Shuddhi, Chitta Naishitrim, everything is there. And then Bhrigu and Varuna, these are all so many instances in the entire Upanishads, where discussions between father and son, guru and disciple, about Jnana Marga, about Moksha are all there. But there, the disciple, the student is already an evolved person. He has gone out of all the samsara, whatever shackles, already is out. He knows very well. But in Bhagavad Gita, we are dealing with a student who is also a grahastha like us, who is going through day-to-day problems like us, day-to-day problems. He didn't go to a forest to do all these tapas and all that thing and got evolved, just like anybody else. So that is the difference between Bhagavad Gita and the Upanishads. Upanishad addresses the same thing, but the practical circumstances are different. Here it is not like that. So here the Upanishad, someone is there who is in the same situation like many of us, most people in the world. And because of that, this becomes a practical manual for all of us to follow. Not like Upanishads, which is all the clouds. So he asked the question regarding a wise person. You are talking about wise person, jnani all the time. I want to ask, who is this wise person? He wants to know who this jnani is. That's what he wants to ask. So he asked for the definition of a wise man. Define a wise man to me. Who is this wise man, jnani, you are talking about? How he would look like? The jnani, does he have a special appearance? He may have two horns maybe, or he has got some special things. We don't know. For a wise man, he coins the word here, sthira prajna. Sthira prajna is the word he is calling for the wise man. For a jnani, the word Arjuna uses here, sthira prajna. Prajna means wisdom. And sthita means firm wisdom. So sthira prajna means a person with firm wisdom. Who is a person with the firm wisdom? Sthita prajna, yasya saha sthita prajna. And what do you mean by firm wisdom again? It is the wisdom which is free from all doubts. There should be no doubts at all about it. Because doubts will make any knowledge shaky. You may have knowledge in physics, chemistry, but doesn't matter. Any knowledge will be shaken the moment you have doubts about your own knowledge. Right? So it is nissamshaya jnanam. A jnanam without any samshaya, without any doubts. So sthita prajnasya ka bhasha. Ka bhasha. What is the, here bhasha does not mean language. Normally bhasha means language. Here it is not language, it is what is the description. What is the description of a wise man? Bhashyate anya, bhashyate anaya iti bhasha. Bhasha, bhashyate anaya iti bhasha. So here, what is the definition of a sthita prajna? That's what he is asking. And he is also coining another word for sthita prajna, samadhistaha. Samadhistaha. This is based on the previous shloka where we saw samadhi. No, Krishna had said earlier what? You will attain liberation when you are established in samadhi. He already said earlier in the previous book, samadhi that meant what? Atma. So samadhistaha means what? Atmastaha. The one who is established in Atma, who is established in Brahma. So Atmanishtaha, the one who is Jnananishtaha or Atmanishtaha, the one who is established in Atman, in the true self. So samadhav, Atmani tishtati iti samadhistaha. Atmani, samadhav, Atmani. So the one who is established in his own true nature, the Atma, what is the description of such a person? Then he asks also another question. Stitadihi kim prabhasheta? How a person, wise person will talk? How he will talk? There is another question. Stitadihi. Actually the same as the stitapragnaha. A person of firm wisdom. Actually the word pragna is turned, is changed with dihi. Dihi means again wisdom. Buddhi. Dihi wisdom. So kim asita? How he will sit? How a wise man will sit? And kim rajeta? How he will walk? How he will move around? How a wise person, so he should move differently from us. So how the wise person will move around? These are all the questions of Arjuna. So now when we read the questions, we ourselves understand something is wrong with Arjuna. Right? Arjuna, unfortunately, he asked the wrong questions, even though he has something else in mind. He doesn't know how to put it. He asked the wrong questions though. Okay. So the misconception that Arjuna has is what? A wise person will have changes in the physical personality. That's what he thinks. Arjuna thinks a wise person, a jnani, will have differences in the physical personality compared to all other ajnanis. So will be physically different from all other ignorant people, ajnanis. That's what Arjuna thinks. So normally in the picture, you know, you have a picture of a jnani sitting, he'll be sitting under a tree. And he will not, you know, all the maybe saffron clothes on. And around the head, there will be a hollow. There will be a blue background or a white background will be there. So what we normally think, when you see a jnani, you now go and look for a jnani, who will have a glow around. So mind is trained to think like that. Jnani should be one who should be sitting in a posture like this. He cannot speak. He has to be maybe speaking only calculated words, one or two words. He cannot even have a big laugh. Maybe smile, the ration smile, this one smile only. And that is what we normally think. So we look for people like that. Okay? We also want to look for people who can perform miracles, all those things we do. So this is how, if you want to go and find such a person and define him as a jnani, this is what exactly now Arjuna is trying to understand, how the jnani is going to be different. So he cannot speak, he can only whisper, all those things he thinks. So his sitting posture should be an abnormal posture. Maybe he should sit in Padmasana only all the time. He cannot sit casually. Padmasana only all the time. And also his food. Whatever food we take is food. Whatever he takes should be bhiksha. Bhiksha only he can take. Because he takes bhiksha and sannyasi takes. But you now normally you think sannyasi is jnani. So a bhiksha, jnani can be anybody. Need not be only a sannyasi. So he thinks, so he should take only bhiksha. We should take food and he should take bhiksha. So these are all our misconceptions. Okay. So he must have siddhi also. Some siddhi he should have, should be able to perform some miracle or the other. He should be able to perform this miracle, that miracle, all those things. If doing miracle is the criterion for a jnani, all our Puranic Rakshasas should be all jnanis. All of them were miracles, so many miracles they were doing, all the Rakshasas. So it's not a criteria. So even for getting miraculous powers, we do not need Atmajnana. No need for Atmajnana at all. As in the Yoga Shastra, you practice so many of those things, you can get siddhis. But Atmajnana is not required. So through mantras, through herbs, through vashadis, through concentration of mind, through various other things, varieties of methods are there to prescribe to the Shastras to get miraculous powers. One can gain all those things. Then what is the criterion of a jnani? Now for example, if you take any profession, what is the criterion of a doctor? Not white coat of the stethoscope, right? A doctor has to go through the knowledge. He has to gain the knowledge of medicine, then he is a doctor. Same as a lawyer. Gown does not make a lawyer. Only the knowledge of law makes the lawyer. So jnani also, knowledge of Atman alone will make a jnani. All other things will not make a jnani. They may all may be confused to be a jnani, but no. All other things are not qualifications. Only jnanam alone is the qualification. Knowledge alone is the qualification. Then who is the Atma jnani? The one who is having Atma jnana. His physical body, his eating habits, the way he sits, the way he talks, the way he does anything, they may all be same like every one of us. There may be no difference at all. He may be sitting among us. We may not even distinguish him. He may be sitting like any one of us, but he can be, a person can be a jnani. So the question Arjuna asking is, who is a sthirapragna? What is the bhasha? How will he talk? How will he, walk? All those things about the dress, what he will dress, all those things. For example, the kamandalu, the dandam, the sannyasis have a dandam. And the king also has a dandam. Dandam. Why he king? Because he has to rule the subjects. He has to uphold the law. That is the symbol of dandam. And for a sannyasi, why dandam? because he has to follow the discipline, the austerities. It is a control for himself. He could not deviate from that. So now he leaves the dandam and goes away. Then okay, he left the dandam, he is not a jnani anymore. Dandam is not a symbol of jnanitvam. So all those things are not symbol of jnanitvam at all. Jnani is a separate thing. It is totally, so actually in the 6th chapter Krishna is going to tell, anashritaha karma palam karyam karma karodhiya karotticha sa sanyasicha yogicha sa niragnita chatriyaha. Krishna is going to talk about all these things. The one who follows the discipline, all the discipline, he is called a sannyasi. For convenience, he can have a uniform. He can wear akar robes, all those things he can wear. He need not have one also, but what is important is the way of life he chooses to follow for a sannyasi. Okay. Unfortunately, we give importance to what? To all the external things, the dress and this and that, dandam, forgetting what they all stand for. That's what we always miss. So this problem came to Arjuna also. This is we go through every day. This Arjuna also is gone through. So kim prabhasheta, kim asita, kim vrajeta, how will he move about? He is asking all those questions and Krishna is smiling within. He is understanding what is this guy asking about. Who is telling? So he does not condemn Arjuna though, because he knows the purpose. He doesn't condemn him. What is the difference between an ajnani and a jnani? That's what he wants to know. So he understands that there must be some difference. If not, why call somebody a jnani? There are two words, so there should be some difference. So if Krishna points out, Arjuna can know that there are people who have attained wisdom. So that Arjuna will believe, right? He can say, okay, the jnani is not something theoretical or something with hypothetical. It's something people are there who were jnanis, who have attained wisdom. So if he tells that to Arjuna, Arjuna will understand that to become a jnani is possible, people have become that. So Krishna gets the implication of Arjuna's question and he is answering it in the following so many verses, the rest of the chapter. And this is a very, very important portion called the Sthira Prajna portion, the portion of firm knowledge, very important portion of the second chapter, starting from the 55th sloka till the end of the chapter.
Prajahatiyada kaman.
Sarvan partha manogatan.
Prajahatiyada kaman. Prajahatiyada kaman.
Atman yevatmana tushtah.
Sita prajnastadochyate.
Atman yevatmana tushtah.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha should be there. I did not say that, but you can see the text. So Krishna makes a very, very clear-cut definition of a wise person here. In this shloka, Krishna gives the definition clearly. It is not an external sign at all, but an internal condition of a person. It is not any external sign, it is an internal condition of a person. And what is the condition? He is telling it in the second line. Atmani eva atmana tushtaha. Atmani eva atmana tushtaha. It's a very, very critical, very crucial definition. One who is happy with himself, by himself. Atmani tushtaha, atmana tushtaha. One who is happy with himself, by himself. Atmani tushtaha means one who is happy in himself. Atmana tushtaha, he is happy because of himself. Does not depend on anything else to be happy. I am happy by myself. Whether all these things are there or not, doesn't matter. I am happy myself. Reveling in himself all the time, unconditionally. This is an unconditional happiness. Not because of any external condition. It is self-sufficiency. It is peace of mind. It is purnatvam. That is sthitaprajna, the person who is that. So if this is clear, then we will also know the definition of a samsari now. If you know this is the definition for yastrita prajnam, what is the definition of a samsari then? Atmani eva atmana atushtaha. Tushtaha atushtaha. Opposite. Okay. One who is never happy with himself. He is never happy. So that is why he is looking for this and that. He is never happy with himself. He is always, he lacks always something because he is not happy with himself. And how do we know that? We can ask ourselves. How are we happy? We can always ask. So when we are alone by ourselves, not doing anything, like sitting in a bus and you cannot do anything, you are sitting in a bus, right? Whatever it is, or wherever it is, you want to sit. And what does the mind do at that time when we are sitting, not doing anything? It only worries, mostly complaints, worries. It always botheration, some problem are the other, some bug are the other, will be always there. This always is the mind of a samsari. At the time when there is nothing else is there, this person is always worried. Even if the botheration is not there, if he says, okay, no problem, I am very fine. I have no worries at all. I am very fine person. He can sit now, not doing anything. And now if you ask him, that means his atmani tushtaka is fine. Right? He is happy himself, no problem. But if you ask him, why are you happy? He said, I am happy, no problem. Right? If you ask, so atmani tushtaka is correct. But if you ask him, why are you happy? Then what he will say? I am happy because my children are all doing very well. My wife is doing very well. I have got a good job. Everything is fine around me. He is happy with all that. So all the things around him, they all keep him happy. So he is atmani tushtaka correct, but he is not atmana tushtaka. Because he is not happy by himself. He is happy because of all other external things. That's what he is. So this is conditional happiness. This is not unconditional happiness. This is conditional happiness. That is, he is either unhappy or he is unconditionally happy. Either he is unhappy or he is conditionally happy. That's what he is. So conditional happiness is also samsara. Conditional happiness is also samsara because it can go away anytime. Once the conditions are removed, happiness is gone. So it can go away. So what is necessary? Those conditions, that condition should go. How do we know? You can happily watch the TV now. No problem. Nice evening after dinner, you are watching TV. Nice show you want to watch. You are happy. Some guy comes and then he is knocking at the door. He is Aditi, the person who is coming without any appointment. He comes there and sits there. Now, the moment he sits there, maybe you will say, how are you, fine and all that thing. Your interest is in watching the TV. And now to this guy, after 2 minutes, what will you ask? So what is your next program? You want that guy to clear out the seat. Because he is now an impediment for you to enjoy your happiness because he is sitting there. You are not happy without that. So this is what a person, normally people, these are samsaris. They are conditionally happy or they are unhappy. So when someone asks a question to you, are you happy? Or how are you? Normally what we say? I am fine. It should be I am fine, period. It cannot be I am fine, comma. I am fine, no problem, only this thing happened, you know, this is the problem there. All those things, those lists should not come. I am fine, period. When we say I am perfectly fine, I am fine, period. When we say that, then atmana. Otherwise, it is our conditional happiness one. So the one who has got atmani evam atmana tushtaha. So the person who has, so this person is not dependent on anything else. Atma is full, is complete by itself. So nityaham, sarvagataham, sthanuhum, achalaham, achedyaham, adahyaha, all that we have seen earlier between the 12th and 25th slokas of the second chapter. So he is Sachidananda Swarupaha Atma, such a person. So one who has got that, atmani eva atmana tushtaham. And how do you find whether you have become a jnani or not? That can be another question. Okay, I am atmani eva atmana, that definition is fine. How do I find whether I become a jnani or not? How long you should come to, for example, Vedanta classes, how long you should be attending or you should be listening to this? Because once you become a jnani, we don't have to do that, right? How long should we do this? If you ask that question, the day we can say, I am perfectly fine, period, that is the day we have become a jnani. That is all, nobody else can give a metric. There is no examination to pass. Only examination to pass, we have to ask the question to ourselves, can I say I am perfectly fine, period? Up to that, we are seekers only. Till that time, we have to go on in this path. There is no other choice. So, contentment is natural to a jnani. For a jnani, contentment is natural. For me, for people who are seekers, For them, contentment is something to be attained. It is a value. The difference between jnani and other people is, for sadhaka, for all the sadhakas, the seekers, contentment is a value to be attained. For a jnani, contentment is natural to him. It's always. So is compassion. Compassion is a trait natural to a jnani. For all others, it's a value to attain. I have to develop compassion. I have to attain compassion. Value, it is for me. Same thing with morality, so many ethics, all those things are all natural to a jnani. They are all values to be attained for other sadhakas. So this is how we differentiate. Then what are the consequences of purnatvam? Okay, aham purnahasmi. What are the consequences of purnatvam? That is given in the first line of the shloka. Because the wise person is happy with himself or herself, what does he or she does? Sarvan kaman prajahati. First line. Sarvan kaman prajahati. He gives up all desires. Prajahati, he gives up. Sarvan kaman, all desires. Why? A desire is only to fulfill what? Myself. I have a desire because I think I lack something. By getting something, I can become full. Purnaha. I can become complete. That's what I think. That's why I always have a desire. I feel I am incomplete without something, without that. So it's like marriage, like children. I feel I am incomplete without having good children. I feel I am incomplete without having a marriage. I feel I am incomplete without having a good job. That's what I think. So every time we desire not merely an object for object's sake, but by getting that object, we want purnatvam to ourselves. That's what we do. We do not just desire for the sake of getting that object. That object is one thing. By getting that object, what I want, I think I will be happy. I will become purnaha. I will become complete. More. That's what I think. So, whether it is name, whether it is fame, whether it is status, whether it is position, or even love from one person, all those things I expect because I think by that I will become happier. So, when there is ignorance, there is apurnatvam. When there is jnanam, there is purnatvam. When there is ignorance, there is apurnatvam. So, there is unhappiness. And so what comes? Desire comes. So unhappiness is there, so you gain desire more. That's what you do all the time. So in case of a jnani, he has purnatvam. He is ever full. So what should he desire? Nothing. He has to desire nothing. And why should he desire also? Because nothing to be fulfilled. He doesn't have to. So sarvan kaman yada prajahati. This is the fourth stage. So first stage is what? Knowledge. Gains knowledge. And because of that knowledge, he gains purnatvam. And because of that, fulfillment or ananda he gets. And because of that ananda, nishkamatvam, no more desire. So these are the four stages for a jnani. First, knowledge he gains. Because of that, he aham purnahasmi. And because of that, he is fulfilled ever. And because of fulfillment, no more desire, nishkamatvam. Whereas in the case of a samsari, what happens? Samsari doesn't have knowledge, so he has ignorance. He has ignorance. And because of ignorance, he thinks he is incomplete. So ignorance, then incompleteness. And because he feels incomplete, he is dissatisfied, he has dissatisfaction. And because he is dissatisfied, he has desire to gain more, so desire comes. That is the lot of an ajnani. Ajnani is ignorance, incompleteness, dissatisfaction and desire. So prajahati. Prajahati means completely gives up all desires, not giving up at times. Normally people will give up at times. I can give up desires at times. No, I don't have any desire at some time. Like jnani gives up desires all the time. For example, if somebody wants to get their daughter married, okay, daughter is married, this happened, no problem, daughter is married. Then what happens afterwards? Oh, she should get over already 2-3 years are over, still she has not got any child. Next question. Or she should get a male child, there's another question. All those things, you know, goes on coming again and again and again. You are ever dissatisfied because that is how the lot is. Because we think we can be happy only by doing those things. So our fulfillment is only temporary, it is only relative. In Vedanta it is called apekshikam. Apekshikam means it is a temporary thing. So we are all happy during sleep. Normally everybody is happy during sleep. Sarvan kaman jahati at that time. It's not prajahati, jahati. So the person, he gives up all desires during sleep. They are all forgotten during sleep. But when the person gets up, all come back. So it's only temporary happiness during sleep. But a wise person, he gives up completely all those things. So it is prajahati. For us it is jahati during sleep. For a wise man it is prajahati because all the time he gives up. And what type of kamas they are, desires they are? Manogatan kaman. Krishna says, manogatan kaman. All the desires which are in the mind. Krishna is very careful in the way he uses words. Manogatan kaman. Here, the word manogatan is very, very important. Sometimes, the kaman means all these desires, they may stand for the objects of the world. Desires, it also stands for the objects of the world, vishayaha. Yeah, vishayas are the objects. So the desire may also stand for the objects of desire. They stand for the objects also. So vishayaha kamyante iti kamaha. So it is defined. So when Krishna says, give up kama, give up desire, a person may think, give up all objects also. Person may interpret it as give up all objects also, because it can be interpreted vishayas also. Kamas. Then we may know that it is very impossible to do that. How do we give objects also? It's very difficult, because even for my mere survival, I need certain things. I need food, I need shelter, I need clothing. All those things are there for even for my mere survival. So what Krishna says, giving up of inevitable objects is impossible. That he knows, no problem. Inevitable things, whatever is essential things for somebody to lead a life, that is impossible, you cannot give it up. Because he is talking about here, giving up of desires for objects or attachment to those objects. That's what he is talking about. Giving up means he is talking about attachment to those. I should remember that these objects are all for my livelihood. No problem. And my happiness does not depend on them. They are there for my livelihood, no problem. But that is, the body has to be sustained. So I need them. So that's fine, no problem. But my happiness does not depend on them. So a wise man has given up the need for objects for the sake of happiness. That is the fundamental difference that we have to understand. Manogadan kaman prajahati. And there is another purpose also here. And that is a technical reason we can give. For example, there are a lot of philosophers, there are Nayayikas, these are all people. They say kama belongs to the Atma itself. This is their argument. Some philosophy, they say, the Nayayikas particularly, they say the kamas, they belong to the Atma itself. Father Krishna says here, kama is not belonging to the Atma, but to the mind anatma. Kama does not belong to Atma, but kama, desire, belongs to the mind, which is anatma. We already saw what are anatma earlier. So all the, you know, grass body, subtle body, everything. So if mind is anatma. So if it belongs to Atma, as these philosophers say, if it belongs to Atma, then Atma will become what? Sagunam. It will be endowed with qualities. It will become Sagunam. But Atma is Nirguna. We have already seen Nirguna. So there is no Raga, no Dvesha, no Kama, no Krodha. They are all properties of the mind, not of the Atma. So Prajahadi, Yada, Kaman, Sarvan, Partha, Manokatana. And why? Atmani eva atmanatushtaha siddha prajnaha tad uchyate. So this is what we have already defined. So from this we come to know that liberation can be defined in many ways. One is wisdom is liberation. Jnanam itself is liberation. Then purnatvam is liberation. Then the third is desirelessness is liberation. One who is free from desires is liberation. Similarly, bondage can be defined like what? Ignorance, incompleteness and desire. All these things can be defined as samsara or bondage. So in the scriptures we find in different contexts, liberation is defined in different ways. We have to look at it from various angles. That's what. So in this sloka we look at it as desirelessness. So for example, the same person, he can play different roles as a brother, as a husband, as a father, all that. Same way, liberation also can be defined in different, from different angles. So Krishna is going to define in more definite terms in the following slokas also more, much more. Dukhe shvanudvigna manaha.
Dukhe shvanudvigna manaha. Dukhe shvanudvigna manaha.
Sukhe shuvigata spruhaha.
Sukhe shuvigata spruhaha. Sukhe shuvigata spruhaha.
Dukhe shvanudvigna manaha. Sukhe shuvigata spruhaha.
Dukhe shvanudvigna manaha,
Sukhe shvanudvigna manaha,
Sukhe shvanudvigna manaha, స్థితధీర్మునిరుచ్యతే
నితరాగభయ క్రోధః
స్థితధీర్మునిరుచ్యతే నితరాగభయ క్రోధః స్థితధీర్మునిరుచ్యతే నితరాగభయ క్రోధః
So in the previous loka, Krishna made a clear-cut definition of a sthita prajna, who is Atmani eva Atmana Trishtaha. And in this loka, Krishna is trying to explain Atmani eva Atmana Trishtaha further. So in day-to-day life, what is the condition of such a person's mind? He is telling here. Dukkeshu. Dukkeshu means various uncomfortable situations, various dukkhas, unwelcome, unconducive situations, failure, ill health. All these things are all dukkha. So all those conditions. Anudvigna manaha. Anudvigna manaha means who is unperturbed. Udvigna means agitated. A person who is agitated. Anudvigna manaha means the person who is not agitated. Who is? So why he is not disturbed? Because the person purnatvam, he can, that because of purnatvam, that person can never be disturbed. He knows he is purnaha. So he can never be disturbed at all. Only apurna vastu can be. So you can increase things and decrease things when there is apurna. When there is completeness is not there, something can be increased, it can decrease also. Where increase and decrease are possible, there happiness and sorrow are also possible. Wherever there is increase possible, he is happy. When there is decrease, he is unhappy. So happiness and sorrow are also possible in those cases. Promotion, demotion, all these things are similar things. Gain, loss, all these things are possible with apurna vastu, not with the purna vastu. And ignorant person, he is always what? Apurna I. That is always, he lacks something. He is always knows he is apurna. So someday that person will smile, someday he will be crying, some other days he will be happy, some other days he will be unhappy, all those things. While in purnatvam, there is no increase, it is infinite. It cannot be increased anymore. And more importantly, it cannot be decreased also. Because it's infinite it is. So a jnani who is a purnaha, he is never afraid of any loss whatsoever, because it is impossible for him to lose anything. Aham purnaha, he cannot lose anything. So dukkeshu, whatever may be unwelcome situation, he knows that his purnatvam is not affected. So anudvigna manaha. Previously he was happy as a rich person. Now he is happy as a poor person. See, I used to always tell, the President of India is always pleased whether to hire or fire a person. He is always pleased to hire somebody, he is also pleased to fire a person also. Why? Because the importance is what? The country. So for the sake of country, if a person has to be sacrificed, he is pleased to sacrifice him also. Because country is important. So here, he is purnaha all the time. So this person is never unhappy. As a poor person also, he is kaupinavantaha, kalu bhagyavantaha. He can be only a kaupinam. But he is ever full. He has no problem at all. Such a person he is. So a jnani is happy all the time as a youth, as a old man, kaumaram, yavanam, jara, none of those things affect him. All the time he is ever happy with comforts, without comforts. He is happy all the time. Because happiness and all these are not connected in his case. They are not connected. Whatever comes has to go. That he knows very well, he is not affected because aham purnaha asmi, that knowledge is there. So dukkesho, whatever may be the situation, anudvigna manaha is unperturbed. Then what is the opposite? Sukesho, welcome situations, happiness, the person is comfortable, everything comes. Vigata spruhaha, he is free from craving, free from dependence, attachments, spruhaha, attachment, vigata spruhaha. So he is not going to be elated also by a comfortable situation either. Some nice situation comes, he got a lottery. He's not elated either. So why? Because no object in creation can improve his happiness. He is ever full. Because he is already with infinite ananda. Infinite ananda, purna ananda swarupaha he is. So nothing is going to excite him even more. In the case of an ajnani, even with a promise, for example, if there's an ajnani, you tell him that you will give something to him next week. He has not got it yet. You have only told him that you are thinking of giving something to him next week. Maybe a cow, used the car or whatever. This guy already has made calculations based on that. So next week, for some reason, this is a subject, object he has not got in his place. He didn't even touch it yet. Next week, for some reason, you cannot give. Either you went somewhere or you cannot give, something happened. This guy's dukkham is so much. He never owned it. He never even saw it. It was never given to him. You only express that desire that you might give. This guy's dukkham is so much. Even a thing which he has not got in possession. So think of those people. So this is ajnani. That's what we are putting. So we are all like a tank or a well. All the time we are like that. Because Krishna is going to talk about the analogy later after some time. So the well can overflow with more water. When there is no water, it can dry up. That is the nature of a well. Whereas for an ocean, it is ever full. You cannot increase the water level or decrease the water level because ocean is ever full. So that is how the Jnani is like a ocean. Krishna is going to give these comparisons later. So Sukeshu Vigata Sprihaha. And when things are with him, Vita Raga Bhaya Krodaha. With those things that he possesses, there is no attachment at whatsoever at all. Vita. Vita means free from. He is free from raga, attachment. Vita raga means free from attachment. When attachment will come? When I think I need a thing to be happy. When I think I need a thing to be happy, need is the cause for the attachment. I think I need it, so I get attached to it. Possessing itself is not a problem. I may possess something, no problem at all. Nothing is wrong. But when I need that thing, it is dependence. I can possess something, no problem. But when I need it, then it becomes dependence on that object. I should not need it at all whatsoever for my happiness. So then that becomes a cause of sorrow. So how do I know whether I am possessing an object or I am needing an object? How do I find that out? Whether I possess one or I need the object. You remove the object, then we will know. You remove whatever the person has, then the person will know whether you need it or whether you possess it just for the sake of possessing it. So wherever there is raga, wherever there is attachment, inevitable consequence is what? Bhayam to lose it. The fear. So when you are possessing something, then the fear is what? You might lose it anytime. There is a fear associated with that. So positive thought will not come because attachment and fear go together. Attachment and the fear of losing that, they come together all the time. Then the fear will lead to what? To anger. Fear will lead to anger because when desire is not satisfied, it can lead to either fear or anger. So it's anger. So whatever stands between me and the object of attachment, for example, you want to watch, something, whatever you want to do. You want to get a promotion at office. Then your boss, for whatever reason, he has not given you the promotion. You cannot get angry with him because if you get angry with him, you know very well what are the consequences. At that time, you are afraid of him. You are thinking, oh my God, this guy has not given me a good appraisal. What will happen? Maybe he may cut some increment for me. He may not put me for promotion. Maybe I may get anger. You may get fear. And you come home and there your wife is there. You can get angry with her because you think you can afford to get angry with her. So the same thing, desire not fulfilled can transform to either anger or fear. When desire fulfilled, then the person what he gets, it may become greed. I got this much, I should get more. So satisfaction never comes by itself. It's a problem all the time because we are either greedy or we are either afraid or fear. All those things are there all the time. So for a jnani, this person has no attachment at all. He has no fear, no anger. So sthitadihi muni ruchyate, such a person who is free from ignorance, who is free from apurnatvam, attachment, fear, anger, he is called yasthirapragnyaha. One who is ever calm, he is shantaha. Such a person is called chitadihim muni uchyate. Yasarvatranabhisnehaha.
Yasarvatranabhisnehaha. Yasarvatranabhisnehaha.
Tattatprapyashubhashubham.
Tattatprapyashubhashubham.
Yas sarvatrana bisnehaha tattat prapya shubhashubham.
Yas sarvatrana bisnehaha tattat prapya shubhashubham. Yas sarvatrana bisnehaha tattat prapya shubhashubham.
Nabhinandati na dveshti.
Nabhinandati na dveshti.
Tasya prajna pratishthita.
Tasya prajna pratishthita. Tasya prajna pratishthita.
Nabhinandati na dveshti. Tasya prajna pratishthita.
Nabhinandati na dveshti. Tasya prajna pratishthita. Nabhinandati na dveshti. Tasya prajna pratishthita.
Krishna says here, even a jnani, a wise person, he also will face opposite experiences in life. He can also get, you know, sometimes good health, ill health, all those things are possible. So he can get pleasures, pain, all those things. Whether one is ignorant or not, they will come. He will also get. Life will get all the time. But how do you deal with that is the question. The jnani, he can also fall sick. He can suffer loss. He can also face heat and cold, all these difficult situations, grace, disgrace. Some media may write ill of him, disgrace. All those things can possible. So even Lord Krishna, he was praised by everybody, and there was a Shishupala who started to scold him so much. It's all possible. Even for Krishna, this was possible. So jnanam will not change the world. You become a jnani, you gain jnanam, does not change the world. World is what it is. No problem by itself. So are the people, the situations, they will continue to be good or bad. No difference in them. Your outlook only is different now. So jnani also has got his own prarabdham. He has got his prarabdha karma only. He has got this birth. So by becoming a jnani, we already saw in Tattva Bodha, his sanchita karma will go away. Agami karma will not affect him. Prarabdham he has to suffer. Or he has to enjoy. There is no choice. He has taken a birth, so he has to go through prarabdha. He also will have illness, he will also have all their prarabdha. So anybody's prarabdha will be a mixture of punyam and papam. Prarabdha is always a mixture of punyam and papam. A jnani is a jnani now only. He attained jnanam now only, because he went through the sadhana, became a jnanam now. Before that he was an ajnani. He was also an ajnani before that. He would have done good and bad actions at that time. So all those things will have it. So his life also will be a mixture of both punyam and papam, good and bad. So mixture of punya papa, they give opposite experiences. Immediately translate opposite. So shubham, ashubham. Shubha is all, you know, happiness, all mangalam, all those nice things, abhushubham. Experiences which are good, auspicious, inauspicious, unwelcome situations, all those things will come. So if jnani also is going to face this problem, then what is the use of this knowledge? Because we are telling, jnani also is going to have these problems. Prarabdha is there, it is not going to help. He is going to definitely have these problems also. Then what is the use of having this knowledge? Because it is great, once we get the knowledge, even though the worldly conditions will be the same, they are not changing. I get the knowledge, worldly conditions are not changed, then they will not have the capacity to disturb me. The condition of the world will not change. They will be as they are. But moment I get jnanam, they will not disturb me. Even though they exist, they will not disturb me. For example, in a rainy season, it rains all the time. You cannot stop it. But you can protect it by having a raincoat. So raincoat protects you. So by gaining jnanam, the rain doesn't disturb you. But rain cannot be stopped. Same way, world situations will be there. They will all be arising. But they will not disturb me. So knowledge is like, for example, a rubber glove for an electrician. He has a rubber glove, he can touch the wire. It doesn't affect him. So Krishna says, Shubham, Ashubham, Tattat Prapya. Tattat, the respective ones. Tattat Prapya, the respective ones, according to one's own punyam and papam, which come off and on. Shubham and Ashubham, they come off and come on. Sometimes the good things will come, bad things will come. Sarvatra anabhisnehaha, but detached from, uninvolved from, in any one of those situations, sarvatra, in all. So snehaha means involvement, attachment. Abhisnehaha means too much involvement. Snehaha and abhisnehaha. And anabhisnehaha means absence from too much of involvement. Abhisnehaha, anabhisnehaha. So there is no relationship is inevitable or indispensable for this person. There is no relationship which is indispensable for him. He doesn't care at all. So he is all the time ready to get away from any relationship. It can be attached from wealth, it can be detachment from anything, doesn't matter. Even relationship between even families, doesn't matter at all. He is always, his one leg is always outside. He is there in this world. One leg is always outside. He can just quit without any problem. And again, we have to understand, detachment does not mean hatred. We have to understand that very clearly. Detachment does not mean hatred. He loves everything, no problem. But all the time, he has the knowledge that any of these relationships are only temporary. So they can go away. no problem. It is not going to affect me at all. That's what he knows. So the readiness to accept this fact, that is temporary nature of any relationship, whatever may be the relationship, the temporary nature of the relationship, he is able to accept it, and that is called detachment. It is not hatred, it is called detachment. So, na abhinandati na dveshti. Na abhinandati, shubham prapya na abhinandati. In comfortable situations, shubham prapya, good things come for him. He does not get excited at all. Abhinandana means elation, excitement. He doesn't do that at all. Nandati, to be happy. So abhinandati means to be excited, such a person. He knows that if his happiness has to depend on that situation, he has to worry later that situation might change and it will go away. It is not. And nadveshti, nadveshti, because of this equanimity of mind, poise of mind, balance, when ashubham comes, inauspicious things comes, undesirable things come, also he is not completely lost or he is not flat on the ground, oh it's gone. Nadveshti, he doesn't become hostile or inimical. So one who can get excited easily, that person can get depressed also easily. He can get excited easily, he can get depressed. It's like a, you know, you need only a small pin to deflate a tire. That's all. Fully inflated tire, a small pin can deflate it. This guy is also like this. So excited, a small situation might immediately derail that person. So anyone who is free from excitement is free from depression also. He is ever balanced. It is always better to be uniform, samatvam, all the time, than being up and down. Instead of going through a sine curve, be always a uniform thing. So, na abhinandati, na dveshti, tasya prajna pratishtita, such a person is said to be strong. Satya prajna, tasya prajna pratishtita. So, if at all any sign should be used to see who is a sthita prajna, then the calmness in his face alone is adequate, will suggest. You don't have to look for any other thing. He is ever poised. Nothing disturbs him. He sits calm. That itself is an indication that the person is poised. That person is the pragya. Otherwise, he will be agitated. Normally, you know, a person goes ups and down. For small things, gets immediately flat up, all that thing. People, you know, we see people like that. Immediately, they get excited for even small things. You say something, immediately is gone. So, such a person. So, the face is the index of the mind. A calm face, a poised face, a person who is always ever in uniform, this thing, is this. So even this may not be a perfect definition perhaps, because even a karma yogi, actually this we have to understand also. A karma yogi also will fit into this definition. Between a jnani and karma yogi, we have to understand that difference also. A karma yogi also might fit into some of this definition, because he cannot be totally calm like a jnani, because jnana has not come to him yet, because of apurnatva, he still has ignorance. See, karma yogi, he knows, he does everything as a duty, as a sense of duty, as a service he is doing. But he still doesn't have jnana. He is still nagyani only. So total calmness is there only for a jnani. So tasyam prajna pratishtisa. Because in karma yoga also, the definition that we saw earlier, because this, let me spend a couple of minutes to describe that. So the definition is very same for a karma yogi and jnani in some circumstances. In karma yoga, we saw karma yogi's definition in the same chapter, what we saw, siddha asiddha yoho samo bhutva samatvam yoga uchyate, we saw that. Right? In success and failure, siddhi and asiddhi. In success and failure, this person has an equanimity in outlook. That is what a karma yogi. Jnani is what? Sarvatra anabhisneha tattat prapya shubhashubha. Same thing we saw just now. So, then we may ask the question, karma yoga also is samaha. Samaha means everything, both is samaha, equal, no problem at all, balance with respect to failure and with respect to success, the person treats them equally, no problem. So jnani is also samaha with respect to failure and success, shubham and ashubham. He is also treating both of them the same. Then why jnanam at all? Because it seems to be a very involved process. To gain jnanam, I have to go through so much of all this. Karma yoga is enough. Do all this social service, I can do this, that and all, no problem at all. Why not be satisfied with that? People may ask that question. But we should remember, karma yoga is only some kind of a temporary cure. Karma yoga is only a temporary cure. It's a first aid to get a relative calmness. Relative calmness, and it is not a total medicine. Karma yoga can give temporary. For example, you have a cough syrup, you have cough. A cough syrup might temporarily help the person to subdue the cough. But that may not be the cure. That may be something else, that may be the cause of the cough. So that has to be treated, analyzed, studied, and treated. So that is the same thing. For example, if a child is hungry, the child is crying, Now to stop the child, to treat the hunger, what we should do? We should give food. But the mother to prepare the food or the formula, it may take 1 minute. So what the mother does? The child is crying. Immediately you give some balloon or some toy, some doll. The child's cry stops for that 1 minute. So it's a temporary fix. Karma yoga is that. You can have a temporary fix. But permanent fix is giving food. To a crying child, you cannot feed also. So you have to first subdue the cry. And then only you can feed. So people may adopt all these techniques. But karma yoga is like that. Karma yoga is like a temporary fix. But jnanam alone is the permanent fix. And jnanam alone will give the actual moksha. So that is why. And then we can ask the question, why do we say karma yoga will give only a temporary solution? That will be another question also. Like a doll cannot remove hunger, in the case for the child, karma yoga also, one has to develop an ability not to react. It helps the person to do that. No problem at all. But still, the knowledge that aham purnaha asmi is not there. Mm-hmm. Karma yoga enables the person not to react, to have samatva. Okay, everything is fine, these are all happening, this will happen, no problem. Karmani eva adhikara gate, all that, no problem. The person will be poised. But he doesn't have the jnanam, aham purnaha asmi. He will still have desires. He will still go up. When that doesn't get fulfilled, he will not be unhappy. That's fine. But he doesn't know that he is purnaha by himself. That he doesn't know that. Then we may ask the question otherwise. If jnanam alone removes the ignorance completely, then why go through karma yoga? Because this is like a lot of people who want to attend only to the karma yoga prescribes so many of these ritualistic practices, the anushtans, all those things. You know, you have to go through all these things for chitta shuddhi, chitta naishalyam, all that. But normally we are happy, we want to understand only the meaning, we want to only understand aham brahmasmi, so I want to go only to Upanishads and all those things, and why not spend time only in that, not doing any of this discipline at all? Right? People can ask that question, if jnanam alone is going to give that thing. Then karma yoga does not solve permanently. Why karma yoga at all? People can ask that question. This is again, because if that is not there, then as I told earlier, chitta shuddhi and chitta naishalyam will not come at all. If you start straight jnana yoga, this is not, when this is not there, one has to first get them. Then only jnanam will have effect on this person. He can relate to aham purnaha asmi only then when the mind is clean, when the mind is only one pointed, then only he can relate to it. Otherwise it will only mere words. Those words will have no significance on him in real life. That person cannot practice it in real life. That person can, the fuse will go away very shortly when some situation arises quickly. So this is a problem. So we have to make sure that karma yoga, this is how our scriptures have made it in a very, very nice schematic way. From karmi to karma yogi to jnana yoga to jnanam, jnanam to moksha. So this is the only way, and this is the only way that will work. All of the things will give here and there something. They may be appealing to people, but doesn't give the permanent solution. So with karma yoga, gain temporary relative calmness. That's what you should do first. Then enter into jnana yoga and gain wisdom and peace of mind and purnatvam. This is the methodology given by Krishna and also Upanishads. Often the definition of karma yoga, karma yogi and jnani, they will be same and confusing also sometimes. But we should understand that karma yoga has got only a first aid. It's only a first aid, and so is relatively calm. While the jnani has got the permanent cure, and so is calm permanently, naturally is calm. For a karma yogi, calmness is a virtue to attain. For a jnani, calmness is natural to him. For a karma yogi, all these are all values. For a jnani, they are all natural to him. He is naturally happy, naturally contented. Naturally, he will not get angry. He is a person who is a jnani. Therefore, na abhinandati, na dveshti, tasya prajnam pratishtita. In such a person, wisdom is said to be well-rooted. He is a person of steady wisdom, stira prajna. Krishna is now giving the definition and also the explanation for the term stira prajna in these shlokas.